Hello, 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 and welcome to Candrasations. I am your host, Kendra Thomas Bell. Candrasations is a podcast where we have organic conversation with real people with real life experiences. So come on in, grab a seat, and let's go into today's topic. Today we're going to get into a conversation with Mr. Nicholas Sylvester, who is an author, writer. He's a author with a poetic book that's just amazing. Y'all need to get it. I have to give y'all the link and all it so y'all can read. The brother is deep. He is a barber. He is a clinician, actor. He's just the man. Let me just give him his kudos before he's in Hollywood. Say you were introduced to him first at Candrasations. Nicholas, welcome to Candrasations.
I appreciate you for having me, and I thank you for those flowers that you just gave me too. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, ladies, Nicholas is single. And he is educated, and he is an all-around gentleman. Like, I can't tell y'all about how he looks out for his sisters and the women that's in his community and his, you know, sphere of influence, and he is just a good person. So, if you ain't right, women, don't come, because today's topic is about therapist in therapy.
Right.
I'm a therapist. He's a therapist. We both attend therapy. So we're going to let you guys in a little bit about what does that look like from our perspective, because we know both sides of it and the benefits of it. So, Nick, I'm going to let you introduce yourself or give a little bit more detail that you would like to my wonderful listeners.
Well, I appreciate it. So, yeah, so just to tap into a little bit more on the therapeutic side, you know, I just received my ALC license. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I'm now, well, I like to say I feel more legit now in the mental health field. So I'm pretty excited about that. And so, you know, we're now in the phase of gearing toward me getting my LPC.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Congratulations. I've been waiting for this.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I've been his pusher in this direction for a while, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Nicholas, you've been off the scene. You're back into the therapy scene.
Mm-hmm.
What landed you into trying to just check into yourself before you check into other people?
So for me, it started while I was still on active duty in the Army and for a drum. So I was in that phase of getting ready to transition out of active duty to get back into the civilian life. And I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do while I was out.
Right.
And so while you're in the Army, in active duty, or just in the military period, when it's your time to get out, you know, they're always talking about ways how you can, you know, support yourself financially, all of these different resources, things of that nature. It's like a ton of information that's out there, I will say that. But the challenging part would be, you know, actually landing a job somewhere.
Right.
So I had a completely different job in the Army. I was in logistics, which has nothing to do with mental health whatsoever. And that's that's a whole nother conversation for a different day. But that's neither here nor there. So what I decided to do, my initial plan was to get into the logistics field just to, you know, get my feet wet or whatever. But what ended up happening for me was I ended up getting an internship while I was still in that phase of transition. And that's one of the programs that the military has for people that's getting out. You know, you can get a chance to do like a whole internship thing for whatever field you want. So being, being that, you know, I already had my degrees, I said, well, it's really a no-brainer for me to just go ahead and get back into it that way.
Right.
And so I had the opportunity to, so with the internship, it's nothing like how we did when we was in school.
Right.
So it was more so of me just shadowing these different therapists and social workers just to kind of, you know, just reintroduce myself back into the field. It was really like that, which was cool. I had no mm-hmm. issue with that.
Right.
You know, because of liability, you know, concerns or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
they couldn't just, hey, man, go in there and give that person a therapy session. Yeah, they couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how I got back into it. And once I came back home to Mobile, you know, I just started job searching and ran across the company that I currently work for now. Mm-hmm. And just so happened, you know, with them, they pretty much allow you to work while you're not licensed. And so, you know, so that's how I really got back into the field, because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
every other job that I applied for, they was like, yeah, no, because I had no license at all. It was like, yeah, no, yeah, you're not a good fit. Sorry. Good luck to you. And that was it, you know. So I was real thankful for this particular job that I have now. And mm-hmm. so now I got my LLC and we're working toward the LPC now. So,
okay. So I am so glad to know that you are back in the mental health
mm-hmm.
field. Nick and I go way back to grad school.
Yeah.
And I have seen firsthand the skill set that he has, the insight that he has, as well as the way he communicates in as a therapist, right? So he went to this acting thing, which I done seen him do that too, because that's my brother. I'm a fan, I'm a supporter, but he got that too.
Word.
And I think, and I can tell this story, and we'll get a little bit about how therapy has benefited us in a second. Mm-hmm. I was working for a youth facility in Montgomery. And it was a boys facility. And one of the boys in one of the dorms, when he came to group, he had Nicholas Book.
Mm.
And I was just like, how you got a book? Well, he got my home. I said, I know the author of that book. And he was like, no, you don't, Miss Kendra. No, you don't. I said, yeah, I do. Like, we tight. We like, man, this book so dope. So they were just passing it around.
Wow.
And said, I'm a use this on these ladies. And they were into the book. So
wow.
You got fan club.
Wow.
For man. The book.
That's, so. Man, that's crazy. And you know, I remember you telling me about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you mm-hmm. telling me that. And I was so blown away by that. I was like, for real?
Yeah.
Said, yeah. You were like, yeah, bro, they got your book up in here.
But it must have been calming for him too, because everything is so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the book wasn't something that was full of aggression. So
right.
I was glad to say that. So going to the military.
Mm-hmm.
And transitioning back to civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
Going to therapy for yourself and your own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
What led you there? What made you say, I need to pull the trigger on this part of my life too?
Oh, so what initially sparked it was 2020.
Mm.
I was trying to rekindle a relationship with a young lady that I knew from like years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we started out pretty cool. Like everything was going pretty smooth. It was looking kind of promising or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, and it was a short period of time too. That's the mm-hmm. funny part. Like it wasn't like no 6 to 12 months. It was mm-hmm. within a matter of like maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I started noticing the shift with her.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way she started responding to me.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, she ended up just disappearing like altogether.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that really, oh, that
That
bothered me.
abandonment.
Yeah, that bothered me so much. And but to her defense, you know, she was still trying to figure out her way as far as, you know, a relationship that she was in prior to that with what she went through.
Right.
But you know, when you're dealing with somebody that still has unaddressed issues and they come into your life, you know, it becomes like a tug of war almost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then as I stated, when you got those unaddressed issues, you can either address them or you'll tend to just sweep it under the rug. And then next thing you know, that rug is all lumpy because you got all of these issues that you haven't addressed.
Right.
Like I said, she ended up just basically disappearing. And I was sitting there just astounded, like, man, like what happened? Like
Right.
I kind of know what happened, but then I'm still confused because like I need answers.
Right.
So she wasn't talking to me, and that just forced me to just really analyze myself at that point. So I said, okay. I said, maybe it's me. I said, so what am I doing wrong? What am I not looking at? So that led me into just doing research at that point. And I came across a few YouTubers that are pretty, you know, credible as far as, you know, their content. And one of the people that stood out to me when he spoke about healing, he said, here's the thing with healing. He said, pretty much, when you're hurt, hurt is inevitable. Like anybody and anything is gonna hurt you at some point. Like you can't avoid hurt. He said, but you also have to understand what that hurt is, and you have to establish that journey to heal from that particular hurt. And once you establish what that hurt is and how it transpired and things of that nature, whether it's coming from people or just, you know, certain events that took place, you have to learn how to just like let it go, like release it. And that's your pathway to healing, basically. You know, said in his video, he was like, man, you can, you know, practice this on yourself. He said, take a sheet of paper and just write down like all of the people that hurt you at some point in your life. And he would, and so once he told me that, I'm saying told me like I was talking to him. Well, you know,
It's
I
like
was
an
locked into
intimate
the
conversation. Yeah, that's right.
video. Yeah, I was legit locked in into the video. So, you know, I just started naming people that I felt, you know, hurt me at some point in time. And it took and it and it took me back to my childhood up until that point in 2020.
This is good.
Yeah. So that's what led me to that journey because I was unaware of all of the things that I didn't even address. You know what I'm saying? So it goes to suppression. I was suppressing so much in my life, man, and did not realize what I was doing. And the funny thing to that, we both went to school for this stuff. You dig what I'm saying? So we went to school for this. And me, like I said, I was so accustomed to just suppressing everything. So the moment something would happen, all right, cool. We're just gonna get over it. We're gonna keep it moving. That's just how I operated. And but yeah, man, that's ultimately what happened. And it led me to learning how to establish boundaries, like your standards. I'm telling you, like it got deep for me. And so that led me into journaling.
Oh, you're a writer anyway, though.
it,
This is
right,
gonna lead to the book.
right, right, right. And I'm gonna bring up another point with the journaling too in a second. And one of the other things as well that I tapped into was music. Me not, and so with music, what I finally started to understand was music is very therapeutic, depending on
Yes.
what you listen to,
Yes.
depending on what you listen to and like who you're listening to. So, and I'll never forget one of the songs that I heard, and it was my very first time hearing this song. And I've been knowing this artist since they hit the scene, Erykah Badu.
That's my
It's
girl.
right. So this particular song that I heard, which is called Green Eyes, this is my first time ever hearing this song. It's 2020 now.
Right.
And I do not know how I stumbled upon this song, but I was just on YouTube and she was singing it on the Tiny Desk concert. She was singing it on there, right? And when I tell you, Badu was, she like really put her soul into that song when she mm-hmm. sung it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, after that first time I heard it, man, I cried.
Huh?
I legit, I cried because I felt everything that she was saying in that song. And it, and like mm-hmm. I said, this whole journey of me learning myself happened in 20, like after all of that between me and that particular female.
Right.
So
right.
I'm still like dealing with all of this hurt, trying to figure it out. And also on top of that, walking around with a smiling face, and I'm really like torn on the inside.
Just walking around,
you know what I'm saying? Just walking around with a smile, but real deal hurting on the inside. So, So like I said, when I heard that song, it just really touched my soul, and I legit mm-hmm. cried because, like I said, I felt everything she said.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite lines was when she said, "I'm insecure." But mm-hmm. I can't help it.
Right.
My says move on, but my mm-hmm. heart lags behind. Man, come on.
Right.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Erykah Badu is a very eccentric yet deep, just she is connected mind, body, spirit, that her words just flow.
Right.
And it's healing, it's authentic, and mm-hmm. that's it. I talked a little bit about on our last podcast with Kiara Doty.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about my control issues, and that's how therapy has been controlling me. But I'm going to go and touch something that you touched.
Okay.
When it comes to my therapeutic journey, I've been having different therapists along the way, but I would say it was 2020 for me, maybe two. Mm-hmm. 2020 was life changing for anybody who needed therapy, right?
For real.
I started with a new therapist in February of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And so I unraveled a lot of things concerning death and dying and how it had me anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But the other things that I learned was because of my childhood and my mother's lack of nurture at the time for me, mm-hmm. because she was an addict at the time, at that time,
mm-hmm.
she was emotionally unavailable.
Right.
And so how did that transcend to me being in a relationship is much like what the young lady did for you.
Mm.
So, and that's why we're going to have these conversations to connect the dots, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So, what happened is because my mother was emotionally unavailable to me, I was emotionally unavailable in relationships a lot of the times.
Mm.
I can get there with friends because friends were different. It was a different type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But because the closeness in an intimate partner and the closeness in a parent thing,
mm-hmm.
if they take that away, it's just like, I'm gonna die.
Like,
don't take your love away from me. Why would you take your love away from me? And so I had these boundaries that kept me in, but never let me get into the relationship to a deep level.
Mm.
And so I would, if it looked like something that was going to hurt me, I would abandon it too. I would jump ship.
Mm.
I'd jump off like the Titanic.
Yeah.
So when I started working through that and working through how my childhood transcended to my adulthood,
mm-hmm.
and did the work and did the healing work, I've learned that I could love completely, authentically to the depths of my soul now. And guess what? I have healing tools that if it was never to work out or if something was to happen, there was a bump in the road, I got skills in my toolbox mm-hmm. to heal that spot so I don't have to stay stuck.
Right.
Now, y'all got to go get some therapy if you want the toolboxes. I'm not going to give y'all a toolbox on podcast.
So you can't give them the free game.
But it's free enough to know that there is a way.
True.
And it's it's mind, body, spirit, you know. You have to do things in all the areas and all the levels to do the work. So I can honestly understand, and I'd like to apologize to any man before my healing that I abandoned. I apologize, going through my own stuff. Didn't know the stuff was the stuff, but it happens. So we tote these bags of unresolved trauma, unresolved pain, abandonment, rejection, anger that's hidden, that that shows up, which really is probably hurt in some instances. And we don't do enough to really look at it because we're taught, especially in the African American community, to keep going. You got to be strong. And we put the strong Band-Aid on everything. So, man, that's so dope. So now, in therapy, post recognizing some of the things, how are you engaging with relationship differently?
So, what I do now is, with relationships, you just pretty much gotta establish like what's happening. And so, what I realized back in the day, what I was doing, I was just going with the flow, honestly. Wasn't really establishing, okay, this is what we're doing. Like, what are you looking for and what am I looking for? It was just, are you like me? Oh, sure, I like you too. All right, bet, cool. So we're going to hang, we're going to kick it, we're going to do all this good stuff.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you get hit with, so what are we doing? and now I'm over here scratching my head. What you mean? What you mean? What we doing? We chilling, shawty. Like what? why you want to go put labels on stuff? Like I was one of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You want to put labels on something, man? We cool. But to her to her defense, she got a point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it is. And in the same way, and it could be the same way for me, just like if I would say that to that particular young lady, like, all right, Charlotte, so what are we doing? And she could very well say, what you mean? Listen, are we moving toward like a relationship to where we're man and woman together, or are we hanging out, we just doing what we do, and that's it? If you can define the line between those two, I think a lot of relationships will, you know, won't have to deal with so much headache at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that sounds like the conversation we had about dating in Atlanta.
For real, man. Because it all boils down to communication and me, my biggest thing is accountability. When you lack those two things, a relationship will be heading to a disaster by any means necessary. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because there's an age gap between us, I just this situationship, this relationship, are we hanging out? And
yeah.
I don't get it. I thank God for my husband. That he old man, kudos school.
To you. Yeah.
We ain't do all that.
Hey, that
I knew
that,
where we was going.
Right. And see, and that's the point. You knew where it was going. He knew where it was going.
You both
were on the same page, and it's like, all right, I'm at a certain point in my life to where I'm not trying to play no games.
I like you.
I like you. You like me. All right, cool. So what are we doing?
This is what we're doing. We got a destination.
Yeah, for real.
But so, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Had we got together prior to 2020, he would not have gotten the best version of me. There was still work that had to be done.
Right.
And so I have diligently worked on me. My healing, my mental, my physical, all of the things, not for a man, but for me.
Yeah.
And so he gets the benefit from the intentional work I did with I mean, healing relationship trauma with family members and all of the things. I mean, really, really getting into the weeds with the thing, like crying, snot crying, getting it all out. And my therapist looking at me like, "You good?" Like, "No, I'm not good." And she gave me 30 more minutes because I was so determined that I wanted to be healed so I could love openly, freely, and intentionally.
Right.
And going to therapy for myself, and in the midst of, you know, just being a therapist too, like, I can tell you all this information and do all this stuff, and I'm very skilled at it. But what about you?
Right. Right. And that was, and that was one of the things that, you know, led me to therapy too. I said, man, I said, how can I be out here saving lives, you know, every day with the population that I'm dealing with? Oh, and to tell you the population that I am dealing with, I'm in the mentally ill population. Yeah, so that's like a different ball game compared to people like you and I.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? It's a completely different ball game. So, like,
thank you for your service.
Listen, it's eventful. It's eventful. It's eventful. Yeah.
But what I will say about that particular population in therapy is that you will learn more than you ever will learn.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because
man,
it's right there. Every diagnosis that you ever want to see, you're gonna see in living color.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, kudos for you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
My first job was in substance abuse, and that's just like that's an interesting population.
Yeah, for real, it is.
Especially when they're co-occurring disorders. And hey, if y'all don't know what them words mean, you can look it up. Internet is good. We're talking a little therapy talk right now, but
right,
it's okay,
right.
Because we dropping nuggets in the midst to say that he's a therapist, I'm a therapist. We're not only people that are serving you, but we believe in the profession, and we're being accountable for our own mental health as well as helping you navigate yours. And so I like to say, you can't be a foodie and don't consume food. You can't be a mental wellness guru and don't consume some therapy or some coaching or, you know, some kind of spiritual mentorship, something that helps you balance your emotions, your thoughts, and generally give you a better well-being.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was something, my therapist said to me too when I sat with her. I think this was like last month. And because when I told her that I was dealing with that particular population, she was just like, man, listen, she said, I know you see a lot, and I know you probably, you know, take on a lot. She said, so by all means, do your best to not take that stuff home.
Absolutely.
She said, do your best to not take that stuff home with you. She said, because, man, I commend you. She said exactly what you said. She was like, man, I commend you. She said, I commend you, man. And but yeah, man, she that was my first time meeting with that particular therapist too, because I've met with other therapists before, and even when we were in school, I remember one time I sat down with Dr. Lee, and I was telling her about some stuff that I was dealing with, and you know, Dr. Lee, she'll always get you together.
Quickly.
And then Dr. Lee will get you together. And she done got me together a couple of times, and I'll just be like, man, I appreciate you. You know, so, but yeah, man.
So let me ask you this from a male perspective.
Okay.
Is there an importance for a man to have a male versus a female therapist? What do you think about that?
I would say more than likely for some brothers, they would prefer a male.
Okay.
But if you're open to dealing with a woman, especially a black woman or whatever, if you're open to it and you feel that she knows her stuff, like she's on the job, she's actively listening to you and reflecting back what you're saying, then I think any brother would be cool with that. But but I do understand that as a man, you would want a male therapist, especially if you need to talk about like man stuff.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
Yeah.
But I always say that, you know, we need good men therapists.
Mm-hmm.
Because we flooded with other cultures in therapy.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to find Black therapists anyway, because we're all booked and busy. Once you get in there, we booked and busy. So
for real,
if nobody's called y'all back and y'all looking, they probably a solo practitioner. Give them a little bit of grace, reach back out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cause that's how mine was. Cause I even shared with her with this. Mm-hmm. I said, man, when I was looking, I said I was hoping that you had something like that same day or week. Mm-hmm. I said, but you didn't have nothing until the end of the month. And I was just like, man, I don't want to go look for somebody else and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it is.
Yeah. And that's what made me say, you know what? All right, that's what she got. Cool. I'll take it. And but luckily for me, in a profession, and I know I have some tools in my toolbox and I have other people that I can, you know, confide in or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to work through what I was going through.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will say, this has been such a beautiful conversation. My God. I thank you for your openness. I thank you for your service to our country, now to our mental health community. Hey, I want to see you on the big screen. Tell the people where they can find you if they want to catch a show that you're doing, or a movie, or your book, you know, because you got things. And hey, if they're in Mobile and they need a good lineup, you know, tell them that too.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, yeah, you can pretty much catch me on all social media platforms as far as Instagram, Facebook. I'm on Twitter occasionally, and I'm on TikTok too. But all of my handles are the same. It's Nick J. Sylvester. And if you want to reach out to me via email, if you're interested in seeking therapy down here in Mobile, Alabama, you're in the surrounding area, you can hit my email up at nickjsylvester23@gmail.com.
Well, it has been my pleasure, Mr. Nick Sylvester.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you, my sister. And we definitely got to
bring
it back. Yeah. Because it's a lot that we definitely could have tapped into. Because I ain't even tapping into the acting side as far as like how I connect the dots with mental health and tapping into different characters that I've portrayed over time and even currently right now.
Okay. So, hey, we definitely going to bring you back for that.
Yeah,
we'll give you a recurring seat at Candrestations, because we're always looking for a few good men to share a word with us from a male perspective, not just, you know, from a female perspective, because we're in this together. Because the more we collaborate, the more we create a better ecosystem in the Black community and helping our people heal. So
right on.
Thank you, and
I didn't mean to cut y'all, but can I just add just one last thing?
Absolutely.
All right, for all the brothers that's out there listening, you having issues with your lady or just life in general, you trying to find your way, I highly recommend you read this book. And if you're not much of a reader, you're more so of a listener, you want to listen to the audio book, you should be able to find this. But this particular book is called The Way of the Superior Man. By David Deeter. Listen, I encourage every man to read this book. I promise you, it's gonna open up your mind to a whole new perspective of how you've been handling your life as of now and what you can do in the near future with yourself. So yeah.
Listen, ladies, y'all go read The Way of the Superior Man, too. It'll give you insight.
Definitely.
I knew that's what you was going to say. I knew
that. How you knew that? How you knew that?
Because I done read the book.
Okay, all right. All right.
Because I mean, the men that I do therapy with, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I have something in my toolbox for them.
Word.
And so I take it it's a high responsibility for me as a female Black therapist to make sure that I encourage, support, and give Black men the tools that they need, because they are the backbone of who we are trying to rebuild and establish, so women can come back down off of these, where they have to do everything. So it's definitely important for me to have something to encourage men and give them something that they can, if they don't finish with therapy, at least they got some tools they can go back in. There's someone that has given them wisdom that can help them further where they're trying to go.
Right, right.
So that is one of the ones that I kind of refer to men.
Okay, then. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You ain't on this podcast with me. I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
All right. Yeah, you all right with me. I don't care what nobody say about you. You all right with me.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my brother. I truly appreciate it. I try. I don't worry about being grammar correct all the time, because this is our culture. This is a culture-specific podcast.
Right.
Anybody who needs therapy in Atlanta, I am licensed in Georgia, so I can service anybody in Georgia. Nick is licensed in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need somebody in Alabama, he got you, right?
Right, right.
For men in Atlanta, you can always look at the directory. Counseling Brothers of Atlanta, they have a directory of male therapists that can help you, as well as for women or anybody that's seeking therapy. They can always go Therapy for Black Girls. I like to support those Black businesses to let people know that their directories have everybody on them, so if they need somebody, they can find them. If you are suicidal or having some intents, you can always dial 988 for some assistance. But anything, any other things you want to drop before we jump off?
Nah, that's it, man. You know, I appreciate you for having me on the podcast. I'm super proud of you. Been knowing you for a little over 10 years now.
I know.
Yeah, man. Just watching you elevate, though, from the moment we both graduated from Alabama State with our masters, and just seeing you thrive in the field, and also willing to help me get back into the field the way that you did, I definitely appreciate you.
Absolutely. So we wishing you all a Wellness Wednesday, and keep working on you.
Absolutely. You do the same.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.